This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, your weekly hour of old-time radio crime, which you can find every Wednesday at relicradio.com. Our first show this week is The Lineup. We'll hear Dr. Simpson Killed, their episode from July 5th, 1951. After that, it's Dragnet and The Big Slip, their story from September 22nd, 1953.
Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment the Lineup. Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in the great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
Take any one of these seats, Damon.
All right. You think you found the man, Lieutenant?
That's hard to say. We picked up a couple of men who were seen in that area. One of them knows Dr. Simpson.
Who is he?
I want you to identify him. Tell me if he's the same man you saw walking up and down in front of the house.
Oh, I hope you've got him. Dr. Simpson was such a fine man.
I'm sure he was.
I worked for him for 15 years. I don't think he had an enemy in the world.
He must have had one. Somebody killed him.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the line.
For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. The delicious, long-lasting, real mint flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The good, smooth chewing helps keep you feeling fresh and alert, adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. So indoors, outdoors, at work or at play, enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint gum. Wrigley's Spearmint. Refreshing. Delicious. We now return you to Sergeant Matt Greb and The Lineup.
I'll call up a number, then name and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they are sent to the washroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get an actual tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Bring on the line. All right, keep it moving, boys. Right over here to the end of the stage. That's it. Now turn and face front, hands to your side. Now when I call you, step out and talk up so everybody in the room can hear you. Okay, number one, Robert Mockler, robbery. Where do you live, Robert?
1745 Cent.
What's your business?
Well, pipe fitting.
Who do you work for?
I'm not working. I used to work for Acme.
You have a car?
I don't own one.
Did you use a car on the job?
Yeah.
Well, what kind?
A Henry J, new one.
Where'd you get it?
Used car lot, so let me take it out for a demonstration. Job only took me 20 minutes. I had the car back in 30.
What color was it?
Light green. Good car. I'm thinking about getting one.
Great. You'll have to wait a few years.
Yeah.
All right, number two. Yusuf Levis. Assault. Where do you live, Yusuf?
I didn't mean to hit him. He's my friend.
Tell the people where you live, Yusuf.
First Avenue, 6654, 1/4 with my wife. She tell you I didn't mean to hit him.
Where do you work?
Steel mill. Open hat. He job for strong man.
You had a fight in the bar.
No, but first one in 3 weeks, Sergeant.
You broke a man's jaw in 3 places.
I hit him. But he was my friend.
What'd you hit him with?
Hit him with? My hand I hit him with. What do you think? My fist.
Well, if he was your friend, why?
Well, sure, he's my friend, but we got drunk a little.
That seems to be a habit with you.
Just after work. What's the matter with that, Sergeant? Couple drinks after work.
The drinks we don't care about. It's the broken jaw that makes us a little unhappy.
It ain't yours.
Could have been. I could have been in that bar.
I gonna hit you? I don't even know you. Why I gonna hit you?
All right, Houston. Number 3, Thomas Wilson, drunk and disorderly. Where do you live, Tom?
Hotel. Some joint on Fifth Street. I don't know the name. Just moved in yesterday.
It says here you live at 409 West Adams.
I lived there the day before yesterday. Moved out.
Why?
My wife. She made too much noise.
Your wife says you hit her?
Big deal. Sure, I belted it. You should have to listen to the racket she makes.
You beat her up pretty bad.
She just got sore because I moved out. 4 years, the same sloppy kimono. Hair up and curly. Always up and curly. Looks like she just landed in a saucer.
Were you drinking?
I always drink when I'm home. Yap, yap all the time. I gotta get oil so I don't hear it. And she hides the bottle, I gotta tear the joint apart. And she yaps. So I belted it. Big deal.
All right. Number 4, Everett Sweezy, loitering and suspicion. Where do you live, Everett?
Lieutenant?
My sister.
Yeah, is that the man?
You'll have to talk up, Everett.
That's the man that was in front of the house.
Sergeant Graham.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Hold number 4 for interrogation.
You hungry?
Oh, a little.
Well, when we finish with this guy, let's get some dinner.
Huh? Sure.
Hi, Matt.
Hello, Quack. Get a load of that tie, Ben.
What's the matter with it?
Are you kidding? Easter's a long way off, pal.
I think it's very colorful. How's Sweezy?
Just like his name sounds. Funny little guy. Reminds me of a rabbit.
Well, we'll have a talk with him.
Will you need me?
No.
Why not, Ben? That tie would scare Rasputin into a confession.
Well, that's funny.
Go get yourself some dinner.
Thanks.
Hello, Mr. Sweezy.
Hello, Lieutenant. Sergeant. Why am I here? You think I've done something?
We just want to ask you a few questions.
I was just out walking and a policeman arrested me. Why did I get arrested? I haven't done anything.
Do you always take walks at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I like to think. I take walks and I can think. I'm all alone and walking helps. It's peaceful early in the morning.
You do it often?
Oh, yes. There's nothing the matter with that. What's wrong with that?
Do you know a Dr. Simpson?
Hmm?
Dr. Simpson, do you know him?
A Dr.
Simpson.
No, I don't know.
He was the doctor who operated on your wife.
My wife? She's dead.
Yes. We're sorry.
I live with my sister now. I couldn't live in the house anymore. Jeanette's dresses hanging in the closet. Dr. Simpson?
Yes. You were arrested 5 blocks away from the doctor's house.
I don't know.
But he operated on your wife.
My wife's dead. Could I have a glass of water?
Sure, man.
Sure.
I don't feel very well. I haven't been well for a long time.
And what's been the trouble?
Headaches. My stomach's been upset, too. Haven't been able to sleep. I don't know. I guess I'm sick.
Here you are.
Thank you. Is it a clean glass?
Well, sure it is.
So many germs. I'm very careful. I have so many colds. Thank you. Water tastes funny.
If you haven't been feeling so well, Mr. Sweezy, why don't you go to see a doctor?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll clean it up.
You're liable to cut yourself. Be careful.
It's okay.
I'm terribly sorry.
Don't worry about it. Mr. Sweezy, Dr. Simpson was killed this morning around 3:30.
I feel just terrible. Couldn't I lie down for a while, please? I've got a bad headache.
I'll just dump this in the way.
You can lie down as soon as we finish talking to you.
But I don't know anything. I haven't done anything.
Dr. Simpson's servant saw you hanging around the neighborhood yesterday afternoon.
I don't know where I was yesterday afternoon. I went walking.
Dr. Simpson was killed in his car in front of his house at 3:30 the next morning.
I've got such a bad headache. Could I have another drink, please?
No glass.
The doctor was shot through the head with a .32 caliber automatic.
Just too tired to talk anymore. I feel so bad. My back aches.
Well, why don't you tell us about it? Then you can sleep.
I can't tell you anything. I just want to lie down for a while. I'll be all right then, and you can talk to me.
Look, Dr. Simpson operated on your wife. You were at the hospital. We checked.
I'm going to be sick.
Catch him. I guess he really is sick.
Hello, Tanner.
Yeah?
Everett's sister, Miss Sweezy.
Okay.
Go right in, Miss Sweezy.
How do you do, Miss Sweezy?
Hello.
Sit down, please. Mrs. Sergeant Graham.
How do you do?
How do you do?
How is Everett?
He's in the infirmary.
They said he was sick. Why was he arrested, Lieutenant?
Suspicion.
What does that mean?
Did you know Dr. Simpson?
Yes, I knew him.
When Sergeant Quine talked to you this afternoon, you said that Dr. Simpson operated on your brother's wife.
Yes. Mr. Quine said Dr. Simpson had been killed. Is that why you arrested Everett?
Your brother was seen loitering in front of the doctor's house.
Everett takes a walk.
Yes, we know that.
He was probably just walking.
Tell us something about your brother.
Well, there's nothing much to tell. He's always been sensitive. He paints. He's never really been well since he was a child, but he's a gentle person.
You don't think he'd kill anyone?
Oh, of course not.
He was very fond of his wife?
Oh, yes, yes. They'd been married for some time. He really hasn't been the same since she died.
She died of cancer, didn't she?
Yes. Oh, it was a terrible thing. Everett suffered almost as much as she did. And then when she died, well, almost too much.
And he moved in with you?
Yes. He put his house up for sale. Or rather, I should say, I did. Everett just wouldn't think about it.
Did he ever say anything about Dr. Simpson?
Say what?
Well, maybe that he might have felt that the doctor was responsible for his wife's death.
Oh, no, no, no. Most certainly not. Everett wouldn't do anything.
Lieutenant, can I see you?
Excuse me.
Yes, certainly.
And what is it?
Everett Sweezy. He just tried to hang himself.
Thinking can talk to him?
No, I think so, but you've got yourself a problem.
Well, what do you mean?
He needs mental therapy.
Well, that was obvious right after we picked him up.
Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I say it was very definitely paranoia. And if he did kill someone, I don't think he was responsible.
Well, we have to find out if he did first.
Then what?
That's a good question.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. Any statement?
No, hasn't said two words.
Everett? Everett?
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Guthrie wants to talk to you.
No, I'm too tired.
Everett.
I don't want him in here.
He means Quine.
He wants to write down what I say. I don't want him in here.
Quine?
Okay.
I don't want him listening outside, writing down what I say. If I go to sleep, he might say things.
What things, Everett?
I don't want him listening.
Well, he's not. He's gone.
I want the doctor. Where's the doctor?
Right here.
I don't feel good. I'm sick. Give me something that will make me sleep. No,
certainly.
What's the matter with me? I've got such bad headaches. I ache all over.
You'll be all right, Everett.
Doctor.
Yes, I'm coming.
There. You'll sleep now.
Thank you. Lieutenant.
Yeah?
I don't care now. It doesn't really make any difference.
What doesn't?
That I killed Dr. Simpson. I killed him. He killed Jeanette, and I killed him. Oh, I feel so terrible. I'm glad I'm going to sleep now.
Refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. When your mouth feels dry, when you're warm or tired, Wrigley's Spearmint is really refreshing. A lively, full-bodied, real mint flavor cools your mouth, moistens your throat, freshens your taste. And the chewing itself gives you a little lift, helps you feel your best and do your best. So for chewing enjoyment plus pleasant refreshment, chew delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum.
you get some sleep?
You know it, like I was dead.
Oh, me too. They moved Everett this morning, county hospital.
Psychiatric ward?
Yeah, about an hour ago. Glad that's over with.
Yeah, well, I'll have some breakfast and make out a report. You eat at home?
Just coffee. Molly had to take the kids to the park, some kind of a carnival or something. Sunday school's thrown it.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey.
How about two in the water, 4 minutes and some sausages?
Right, man.
Double it, Eddie.
Double it.
And will you give me some coffee now?
Right, man.
A cigarette?
Thanks. No, I smoked enough last night to give the city a smog problem. Hi, Quine. Have some coffee?
Well, he changed the tire.
I hate to do it, boys.
Oh, now, look.
This is too hot.
We haven't even had our coffee.
Find us in a half an hour.
It's huh? Everett Sweezy.
Yeah, what about him?
They were just taking him into the county hospital. He slugged the guard. Got away.
I wonder who thinks up the names for streets.
You wonder the strangest things sometimes. What's that number again?
224. It's the next block. You think Everett just came home and went to bed?
I doubt if he's that far off his rocker. Poor sister sounded scared to death on the phone.
Everybody's scared of cops.
I can't understand it. I'm such a nice fellow, really.
Ha! Ah. All the lights are out.
Yeah.
Maybe she's watching television.
Let's try the bank. There's a light in there.
See anything?
Yeah. Fine way to treat your sister. Come on.
Huh?
Not locked. I better bust a window. All right. Give me a boost. All right. Come in. I'll untie her. You take a look around.
Right.
I'll have you loose in a minute, Miss Squeezy. Yeah. There we are.
Oh,
now, don't try to talk just yet. Just let me get your arms, legs free.
Elliot, he's gone mad. You've got to help him, please.
Here, let me help you up. All right, sit here. Now, Miss Squeezy, where's your brother?
I don't know. He was here when you called, but I couldn't tell you. He was like a crazy man.
Now, just tell us what happened.
He was here when you called. He was standing right over me with a gun. I was so frightened.
Did he say where he was going?
I'd have told you he was here, but I was so frightened. He was standing right beside me with a gun. That's why he came here, to get his gun.
Now, please, do you know where he went?
Yes. I'm trying to tell you. He went to kill Dr. Hanley. That's why he came for the gun. I wanted to tell you on the phone.
Well, who's Dr. Hanley? What's his first name?
His first name is John. John Hanley. He said he was going to kill him.
Get on the phone. Where's your phone?
In the hall.
Call Dr. John Hanley. Tell him not to leave the house. Get the address and tell him he'll be right there.
Right.
Oh, please, don't leave me. What if he comes back? What'll I do if he comes back?
He won't come back, Miss Sweetie. Now, please, try to calm down. I'll send one of our men over to stay with you.
I've seen it coming ever since Jeanette died. I could hear him crying.
Did Dr. Hanley take care of Everett's wife?
Oh, he did everything he could for Jeanette. He took care of her the best he could. I tried to tell Everett when he came for the gun.
Well, we'll stop him, Miss Sweezy. Now, please take...
Oh, Dr. Hanley's a fine doctor. He's taken care of me for years.
The doctor's out on the call, Ben. His wife's there, though. We better get going.
But I'm alone here. And if they took my car, he might come back. What'll I do if he comes back?
There'll be a policeman here in 5 minutes. And now, look, don't worry. We'll stop Everett before he does any more harm.
Oh, yes. Please. But don't hurt him. Try not to hurt him. Please. Yes?
We're the police, Mrs. Hanley.
You're the police? Why, come in, won't you?
Thank you. Have you been able to locate your husband?
Why, yes. I just told one of your men where to find him.
You did what?
Please tell me what's wrong. This is all very disturbing.
Mrs. Hanley, we're the ones who called you.
But a man came to the door just a few minutes ago.
Did he say he was from the police?
Well, I just assumed it. Well, that is, I asked him if he was the officer that called, and he said yes.
What did he look like?
Oh, he was small and slender.
That's Everett. Yeah.
Where's your husband, Mrs. Hanley?
He's making a call on Arden Road, 1456 Arden.
Do you know the phone number there?
Well, they have no phone. You've got to tell me. Is John in trouble? Who was that man?
Well, it's nothing serious, Mrs. Hanley. We're just checking on the next patient of the doctor's.
Oh, I see. But who was the man who came here?
The ex-patient. Come on, Matt, let's go.
KQRA from 13J.
KQRA.
Code 5 at 1456 Arden Road. Suspect armed and dangerous.
KQRA, roger.
I wish I felt luckier than that. The timing's off, man.
Yeah. How much further?
A few blocks.
You know, doctors sure lead a rough life. Molly's uncle's a doctor. Poor guy never gets any rest. We go over there for dinner once in a while, and he's never made it through his dessert yet. Always gets called away. I don't know how it keeps going.
Got a cigarette?
Yeah. I'll light it. Here.
Thanks.
You know, it's nice having a doctor in the family. When Molly was sick last year, her uncle took care of her. It didn't cost me a nickel. Except for the medicine.
Here we are.
Oh, relax, will you?
Yes, fine.
Glad you're here. Oh, this is a pip. We were already on our way here when we got your call.
Please, you got to do something. You got to get him out of there.
This is Mr. Stafford. He put in a call for us.
That guy in there is crazy. He says he's going to kill the doc. You got to get him out of there. He's got a gun. My kid is awful sick, and that lunatic in there's with a gun.
Now, take it easy, Mr. Stafford. What happened?
Well, my kid took sick tonight, and I called Dr. Hanley. A few minutes after he got here, this crazy guy comes to the door and says he's looking for the doc. I told him the doc was with my kid, so he pulls out a gun and goes on in. I ran to the corner gas station and called the cops.
I see. Well, now, is there anyone else in the house?
Well, no, there's just my kid and me. Get that guy out of there, will you?
Now, which room is it?
That one there on the ground floor where the light is.
All right, now you stay out here, Mr. Stafford. We'll get him out. Come on, man.
You think we better go in?
This guy's lighter. Keep it quiet.
Okay.
Please, listen to reason. This dog is very ill.
I've
got to get him to a hospital.
What for, Dr. Henley? So you can let him die?
Oh, please, Everett, try to understand.
How come you're so anxious to make people live, Doctor? How come you care whether he lives or not?
I wasn't responsible for Jeanette's death, Everett, any more than Dr. Simpson was. There was nothing any of us could do. You must believe me.
You told me you could save her. Dr. Simpson said the operation would save her. Why did you let her die? Why did you tell me you wouldn't let her die?
Oh, Everett, please, I'll try to explain to you about your wife. I'll try to make you see that there was no way to save her, but don't let this boy die. Let me take him to the hospital. Then you and I can talk.
I don't want to talk about Jeanette anymore. I don't want to see her face anymore. I don't want to hate you anymore. I'm going to kill you, Doctor. Jeanette wants me to kill you.
What do we do?
All right.
See if there's another door into this room. Maybe from the room down the hall.
I can to the boy. Give me just a few minutes.
Okay, but don't do anything wrong to him. Be sure you do the right thing. Go ahead, help him.
I'll need my bag.
Where are you going, Doctor? You're not leaving here.
It's right here on the chair.
Yes. Where have you gotten that
needle?
There's
another way in. The bathroom connects this bedroom and the other one.
What's the matter with him?
You go around through the bathroom. Count 10 from the time you leave here, then open the door and cover me.
His condition is very acute.
Now.
Go ahead.
One.
Give him the shot.
Three,
I'm not going to wait
four,
much longer.
Five.
Look, Everett,
six.
Take me out of here.
Seven.
Before.
Eight.
At least
nine,
take me to a phone.
Ten.
Let's go.
Drop it, Everett.
Look out, that.
Thank the Lord. Call an ambulance, man. Let's get him to the hospital.
He's on the third floor, Ben. 312.
Okay. Did Gerson do the operation?
Yeah. Said we didn't get him here any too soon.
Floor, please.
Three, please.
He was on the table for 2 hours.
Yeah? Well, if he pulls through this, it'll be one for the books.
Mm-hmm. If Dr. Hanley hadn't been there, he wouldn't have had a prayer.
Third floor.
I hope he's conscious.
Yeah. Wonder what he'll have to say.
Yes?
Police, miss. Is he awake?
Yes, but he's not too strong.
We'll only be a minute.
Hello, Everett.
Hello, Lieutenant. Tell me, please. Am I going to live? Did you talk to the doctor?
You've got a good chance. The doctor did a good job.
This is the same hospital Jeanette was in?
I don't know, Everett.
Find out for me, will you? I have to know. I'm scared.
Okay, I'll find out.
If it is the same, I don't want to stay here.
Now, look, you better not talk anymore.
Lieutenant, how's the kid? The little boy, is he still sick?
No, he's fine, Everett. The doctor removed his appendix and he's going to be fine.
I'm glad. I didn't want him to die. But, Lieutenant, come closer, please.
Yes, Everett?
He still may die. If Dr. Hanley takes care of me, you mustn't let Dr. Hanley take care of me. Dr. Hanley killed my wife, you know.
Remember, friends, for refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, real mint flavor in it to cool your mouth, freshen your taste, and sweeten your breath. And chewing Wrigley's Spearmint helps keep you fresh and alert. You feel better, work better, get more fun out of doing things. So indoors, outdoors, at work or at play, always keep delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. The lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum again bring you the lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officer will take your name.
The lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, was written by Charles E. Israel and edited by Blake Edwards and Richard Quine, with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Parley Bear, I. Everback, Jay Novello, Peter Leeds, Junius Matthews, Virginia Gregg, Gene Bates, and Mary Jane Croft. The lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Sound off for Chesterfield. Chesterfield, low in nicotine, highest in quality, best for you. Chesterfield brings you Dragnet. Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to auto theft detail. You get a call from the owner of a used car lot.
He tells you he thinks he bought a stolen car. Your job, check it out. Smokers by the thousands are now changing to Chesterfield, the only cigarette ever to give you one, proof of low nicotine, highest quality. Two, this proven record with smokers. No adverse effects to the nose, throat, and sinuses from smoking Chesterfield. Chesterfield, regular or king size, low in nicotine, highest in quality, best for you.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, May 4th. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of auto theft detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Nelson. My name's Friday. I was on my way into the office, and it was 7:56 a.m. when I got to room 40. Auto theft.
Is that you, Joe?
Yeah.
Hi.
When'd you get in?
Well, about 7:30. I woke up at 5. I couldn't get back to sleep.
What's the matter?
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. I don't think I could lift a pencil to make out a report today.
Is that right? What happened?
Baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah. I tell you something, Joe. I found it out yesterday. I ain't no Chuck Stevens.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yesterday morning, I got up early. I'm going to do a little work in the garden. It was a beautiful day, you know. Felt real great.
Uh-huh.
I got out in the backyard. I'm going to take it easy, listen to the ball game, you know. Easy day.
Yeah.
And about 10, that guy next door, Neil Radcliffe, came over.
That's the fellow of the fire department, isn't it?
No, Joe, that's Bud Hendricks in the fire department. Neil works for an insurance company.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, Neil's company is going to sponsor a team in the Little League. You know, kids' baseball team.
Mm-hmm. I think I read something about that in the papers, didn't I?
Yeah, suppose you did. They're pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Neil's got sort of a tryout yesterday, lined up for his team. Practice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted me to umpire.
Do you know anything about being an umpire?
Well, Joe, sure I do. And besides, Neil figures since I'm a policeman, the kids will believe me. He had a little trouble with them himself last week.
I just thought you had to go to some sort of a school to be an umpire.
Well, Joe, you do for the regular leagues, but this was just a practice game. Neil's team and some kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I told him, sure, I'd do it. I changed my clothes, went out to the park with him. You know, I thought it might be good public relations for the police department. You know what they tell us.
Being an umpire would be good public relations, huh?
Well, Joe, the bulletins say get out, get around the neighborhood, know your friends and their kids.
All right, go ahead.
Joe, mm-hmm. Those kids are on the wrong league.
What do you mean?
They're murderers.
Well, how's that?
The way they play the game, baseball. I never saw such ball.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. I figured, you know, softball, underhands, kids pitching, be easy to call.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, it's regulation hardball. Just like that. Bases are a little closer, but it's just like the big leagues and the way those kids throw the ball. A couple of times there, I thought they were just kidding. I'd hear this thump, never see the ball. Thought the kid catcher would just hit in his hand his glove, you know. And all of a sudden, he'd turn around, and there it'd be right in his mitt.
Mm-hmm.
Golly.
Well, how'd you get so sore if you just umpired the game? You stood in one place, didn't you?
While I was up in the game, yeah, but this team of Neil's was skunking the other kids so bad that we had a little reorganization.
What do you mean, reorganization?
Well, end of the second inning, the score was 14-2, and I thought that was a little unfair to the neighborhood kids.
Being the umpire, you certainly had the right to think it was unfair.
Well, I got out, and I told them what I thought, so I decided to play first base for them.
You what?
I played first base for them.
With all those kids?
Sure. Fun. I played 5 straight innings.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
Yeah. Finally, I had to quit. Could hardly move. Didn't seem to make any difference where I was, Joe. Those kids weren't there. They just ran me ragged.
Yeah, well, maybe you better take it a little easy today, huh? Would you like the day off?
No, not the day off, Joe, but, you know, I'll take it easy. Faye rubbed liniment on my back all night. All over my arms and legs. Man, I'm sore. It even hurt to get dressed this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the final score, anyway?
Well, at the end of the second inning, it was 14-2 in favor of the Little Saints.
You
like
told
I was
me
telling
all
you.
That.
Neil's team.
14-2. You got in the game and played. What did it end up with?
You know, I didn't even get one hit.
You didn't?
No. 3 times a bat, didn't even get a hit.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. What was the final score of the game? Did you hear me?
Hmm?
The final score of the game?
Oh.
Not the original score, but after you played 5 innings, what was the score, the total? I was just curious to know you.
Yeah. 46-12. When I left.
Mm-hmm.
That was at the end of the seventh. The little Saints were up when I left.
That was the other team's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The team you weren't playing on.
Joe, don't rub it in. The other team had run through their batting lineup twice. The way they were going, I think they were going to have to call the game on account of darkness. They'd been up for over an hour. Only one out.
They sound pretty good.
Well, they may sound pretty good to you, but they're murderers. You know, Joe, those kids grew up. There isn't going to be a ball club in the country that's going to have a chance to get them. I never saw anything like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I missed being there to see you play.
I bet you are. It was pretty bad, Joe, really.
Well, you'd never know it.
Had me marked down for 10 errors when I left.
Only 10.
It wasn't 5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you got to be pretty bad to run up a score like that.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I was, Joe, though. I was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Auto theft Friday.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Sure, we'll be right out. Want to give me that name again, please? Uh-huh, and that address. Fine. No, right away. Yes, sir. Friday. That's right. Right, bye.
What do you got?
Well, I don't think you're going to get much rest today. There's a used car dealer out on Washington Boulevard.
Yeah?
He thinks he bought a stolen car. ...8:15 a.m. We left the office and we drove out to the McGowan Car Company. It was a large lot on Washington Boulevard. Along the front of the place, there was a line of late model cars, each advertised as today's special. We walked through the aisles of automobiles to the office in a trailer at the back of the lot. There was nobody around, so we knocked on the door and waited.
Well, he said he'd be here, didn't he?
Yeah, I told him we'd be right out.
Yeah, maybe he's gone out to breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mr. McGowan?
That's right.
Police officer, sir. You called our office. My name's Friday.
Oh, yeah. Come on in.
Thank you.
Come on back. Just having a cup of coffee. Fix you guys up with one?
No, sir. Not for me.
How about you?
Yes, sir. Sure. I'll have a cup with you.
Good. Go on back and sit down. I'll bring it right back.
Thank you.
Say, I didn't get you fellas' names.
My name's Frank Smith. This is my partner, Sergeant Friday.
Oh, glad to meet you. I talked to you on the phone, didn't I, Mr. Friday?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Thought so. Never forget a name. Never do. There's your coffee.
Thanks.
I'm Jesse McGowan. Guys on the row are all the time kidding me about my first name. Jesse. Get it?
No, sir. I don't believe I do.
Jesse. Jesse James.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Well, anyway, I wanted to tell you about what this guy came in Saturday night.
Last Saturday?
Yeah, you see, we stay open till 10 on Saturday night. This guy must come in about 9. Jack went over to take care of him, but the fellow said he wanted to see the manager, so Jack brought him back here.
I see.
Said he had a car to sell, a brand new Merc. Beautiful car. Say, I got a box of donuts here if you'd like one.
No, thanks.
I don't think I'll have one. Didn't get a chance to eat this morning. Got to worrying about this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Got some of these new kind with the cinnamon on top. Hmm. Sure good. Well, I told this guy we'd like to buy the car, but we were kind of overstocked on Mercs.
Yeah?
He said he'd just come out from the East and bought the car when he got here. Said that right after he paid for it, he lost his job and had to get some money out of it.
Uh-huh.
I asked him if he'd like to make a trade, you know, a transportation car and money to boot. Offered him a good deal on a Nash Rambler. Just got a couple of 51s in.
Yes, sir.
He said he wanted to sell the car outright. Said he was going to leave town. He wanted to get his money out of the car. I asked him how much he wanted for it.
Mm-hmm.
He told me he'd have to let it go for $2,200. It's about $800 under what he must have paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, I figured there was something wrong, so I had the mechanic look it over. Only had 3,200 miles on it. Hardly broke in. Beautiful. Radio, heater, white sidewalls, Continental hookup. Real beaut.
Well, what'd your mechanic say about it?
Said it was in perfect shape. So I asked the guy who the legal owner was.
What'd he say?
He said he was. He'd paid cash for it, had the pink slip made out to him, all right. He had the identification to go with it.
You bought the car then, did you?
Yeah, sure looked like a good deal. I gave him a certified check made out to cash for the amount. He gave me the keys. That was the last I saw him.
Well, aside from the fact that it's an unusual deal, why do you think there's something wrong with it?
Well, for the first thing, the price he wanted for the car was too low. I had the feeling that if I'd have given him any trouble on it, he'd have come down on it.
Do you have the pink slip here?
Oh, yeah. I brought it with me this morning. I got it here in my wallet.
Any other reason you think the deal might be phony?
Well, it's hard to put it into words, Sergeant. Nothing I can point out to you. Just a feeling. You stay in this business very long, you kind of get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Oh, there it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's been a lot of gags about used car salesmen, about how we're always after somebody. Most of the time, though, it's the other way around.
Is that right?
Yeah, the bums were put out of the business right after the war. Public wouldn't stand for the way they did business. Got to rely on people coming back if you're going to come out in the long run. I guess it's like almost any other kind of business.
Yeah, I suppose so.
What kind of identification did the man have to prove he was this, was it Lewis Carter?
Yeah. Well, tell you the truth, Sergeant, I didn't ask for any. He had the pink slip. Price he was asking was right. We checked the block and body number. It was the one listed on the slip. No reason to believe he didn't own the car.
How about it, Joe?
Well, looks like it's one of the slips from DMV in San Diego.
You mean there is something wrong?
What if I use your phone, please?
Sure, you bet. It's right there. Help yourself.
Thank you. Can I dial a Michigan number on this?
Yeah.
All right. Two 507, please. Yeah, auto theft. Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Joe Friday. Yeah. Say, we got a pink slip out here. Looks like it's one of those that were stolen from DMV down south. No, down south. San Diego? Mm-hmm. You got the list there? Yeah, I'll wait.
You mean somebody stole a pink slip from the department?
Yes, sir. As near as we can figure it, about 24 of them.
Never heard of that.
Well, this is the first one of them. Hello? Yeah. All right. Made out to a Lewis Franklin Carter. No, no. C. C. Charlie, yeah. A. R. D. Dog, yeah. E. R. Carter, yeah. Mm-hmm. Registration number is 660-667. 660-667, that's right. Address, 4287 Ingram Street, Los Angeles. LA 5. Engine number 585509. All right, I'm sorry. 5855-0925. That's it. Mm-hmm. Mercury, 8. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's what we figured. You got anything on the car? Mm-hmm. No, it was sold Saturday night. That's right. Yeah, there should be something out on it. Okay. Right. Thank you.
How about it? The car stolen?
No report yet, sir.
I got to call the bank.
Now, you said you gave the man a certified check.
Yeah, I got to stop payment on it. Ain't going to be easy, either. He can cash it any place. Sure looks like I'm out $2,200.
Well, it isn't likely he's been able to cash it by this time, sir.
Maybe not, but I'll give long odds that he's standing in line when the door's open. I better give him a call. Hope somebody's there.
Well, it's just 8:25.
Yeah. Probably a little early. Yeah. That doesn't sound like anybody's there yet. Well, keep trying. I gotta get that check. See what I mean?
What's that?
About the jokes. Now, we're the ones always trying to get away with a fast deal. No such thing. Take this one, for instance.
Yeah?
I bought the car in good faith. Paid cash for it. Gave the guy just what he asked for.
Well, not quite, sir.
Huh?
You get a little more than that. We got a complete description of the suspect, Lewis Carter. We put out a local and an APB on him, and then we asked Dean Bergman to come out and go over the car for fingerprints. The owner of the used car lot, Jesse McGowan, told us that the car had been washed and cleaned thoroughly, but he didn't think we'd be able to come up with any fingerprints. 9 a.m., we put in a call to the bank and asked them to stop payment on the check and to notify their branch offices to do the same. McGowan supplied the number of the check, and the information was gotten out to the other banks and check cashing agencies in the area. Bergman finished checking the car, and he told us that the only print that he'd been able to find was a partial thumbprint under the dashboard. We rolled the prints of the man who'd washed the car, along with those of McGowan and the other people on the lot who'd come in contact with the automobile. None of theirs matched. We checked with the office and told them that we'd check out the address listed on the pink slip. 9:37 a.m., we pulled up in front of 4287 Ingram Street. It was a large two-story place that had been converted into a rooming house. There were several cars parked in the front yard. We went up to the front door and rang the bell.
Want to try it again?
Yeah.
I didn't know there were any of those around anymore. Don't see many of them nowadays.
What?
What kind of doorbell?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Like to see Lewis Carter.
I'm him. What do you want?
Police officers. We'd like to talk to you.
Cops? What do you want with me?
Might be better if we talked inside.
Huh?
Inside?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on in. I just got up. One of you guys got a cigarette?
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks. How about a match?
Here.
Thanks. Well, what do you want to see me about? Something wrong?
You own a 53 Mercury convertible?
Yeah, why?
You know where it is?
It should be out in front. Why?
You leave the keys in your car when you park it?
Once in a while, I forget it. Yeah. Look, I don't know if it's there now, though.
Your car's been stolen, Mr. Carter.
Huh?
Your car's been stolen.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. Well, where is it? Yeah, you got it back for me? Is it in the police garage?
No, sir, I'm afraid it's not that easy. It was sold Saturday night.
Sold? Who to?
A used car dealer out in Washington.
Who owns the car, sir?
Well, I do.
Do you have the pink slip on it?
No, I didn't get it back from the Department of Motor Vehicles yet. Why?
Well, the man that sold the car had the pink slip with him.
Well, I don't care if he did have it. The car doesn't belong to him. He had no right to sell it.
When's the last time you saw your car?
I guess it was Saturday afternoon. I came home early. I parked it out in front. Yeah, Saturday afternoon.
How is it you didn't know the car was taken?
Officer, you saw the front of this place. Must be half a dozen cars parked out there. There are rumors. They use a yard.
You didn't use the car over the weekend, then, is that it?
Oh, no, I didn't. I got home Saturday afternoon, like I told you. I spent the whole weekend doing some painting in one of the upstairs rooms. It's been vacant a long time. I figured maybe if I put a little paint on it, I might be able to rent it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, my wife used to take care of the place. She and I had some trouble. She went back east to see her mother. Seems like the house went to pot after she left, and we're really going to have trouble when she comes back and sees this mess.
How many people do you have living here?
Nine.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to have you take a look at this description, see if any of them fit it.
You figure it might be one of them?
Well, we'd like you to check the description, if you would.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it isn't one of them. None of them match this.
I wonder if you can give us their names.
Oh, sure I can. Well, why do you have to have them?
Just routine.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can give them to you, but I'm sure they aren't mixed up in it.
Yes, sir.
The thing I can't figure is how he got the pink slip.
It was stolen, sir.
From the state?
Yes, sir. Last month, someone broke into their offices in San Diego and stole 24 registration slips.
How much you get for the car?
$2,200.
$2,200? Thing cost me over $3,000. Guy must be a jerk, huh?
I don't know. It didn't cost him anything. Ten fifteen a.m. We went by the used car lot and picked up the owner. We took him down to the city hall and had him check the mug books. After going through the pictures, he was unable to give us an identification of the man who'd sold him the stolen automobile. We checked the names of the people who lived at Lewis Carter's house. One of them had a record of arrest on charges of violation of Section 4127A of the Los Angeles Municipal Code. He'd served a short term in the city jail and then he'd been released. His physical description, however, did not match that of the suspect we were looking for. 11:35 a.m. We had the used car dealer taken back to his lot and Frank and I checked into the office.
About the only thing we got working for us is the check.
Yeah. I hope they get the word out in time.
He gets his hands on that money and he can go a long way.
I get it. Auto theft Friday.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right. Be there as soon as we can make it.
Right.
Bye. Well, he isn't going far.
What do you mean?
He's at the bank now.
You are listening to Dragnet, the authentic story of your police force in action. At cigarette dealers, in vending machines, at supermarkets and stores coast to coast.
Chesterfields, please.
Smokers by the thousands. Yes, smokers by the thousands are now changing to Chesterfield, the only cigarette ever to give you one proof of low nicotine, highest quality. Chemical analyses of the country's six leading brands confirm that. Two, the only cigarette ever to give you this proven record with smokers. Again and again, over a full year and one half, a group of Chesterfield smokers have been given thorough medical examinations. The doctor's reports are a matter of record. No adverse effects to the nose, throat, and sinuses from smoking Chesterfield. A responsible independent research laboratory supervises this continuing program. Chesterfield, the only cigarette ever with a record like this. Chesterfield, best for you.
We'd gotten a call from a branch office of the bank that the check had been drawn on. At 11:30 a.m. that morning, a man had walked into the bank and presented a check for the amount of $2,200 drawn on the account of Jesse McGowan. Because of the amount of the check, it had to be okayed by the head cashier. Fortunately, he'd gotten the information about the check and had stalled the suspect long enough to call us. He was able to keep him waiting until we got there. The man was taken into custody without any trouble. He denied having anything to do with the stolen car, and he said that we'd made a mistake. We took him downtown and started to question him.
I tell you, I don't know what this is all about. I'd like to help you out, but there's nothing I can do.
Frank?
Yeah?
You want to get in touch with McGowan and have him come over?
Yeah, right away.
Well, do you want to tell me again where you got that check?
It was against the law to have a check.
I'd like to know where you got this one.
I want it.
Where?
Look, I don't know what this is all about. I'm not about to get any of my friends in trouble by naming them. I got nothing to do with this, let alone my pals.
You'll save yourself a lot more trouble if you'll tell us where you got the check.
All right, I won it in a poker game.
Pretty high stakes.
Yeah, we gave up kid games.
Who'd you win it from?
I told you I wasn't going to name any names.
We're going to get them sooner or later, you know that.
Not for me, you aren't.
You build it any way you want.
That's the way I figure it.
When was this poker game?
Saturday night.
Where?
I'm sorry, there's another one I can't answer.
You been in San Diego lately?
Not for a couple of months.
When's the last time you were down there?
I don't remember right off.
It'll help if you can.
What do you mean, help me? I got no trouble. You guys make a pinch while I'm trying to cash a check. I won the money. It was a payment for a debt. All I was trying to do is get my money. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong. Why don't you tell us who you won the money from?
And have you guys throw a beef at them? Nothing doing. I read where you fellas spend your time breaking up a game of old maid.
That's a little more serious than that, isn't it?
Well, maybe to you. I got no problem. All I got to do is sit tight.
You keep believing that, mister. And you keep acting like this, and you'll see what a problem you really got here.
McGowan's on his way over, Joe.
Who's McGowan?
He's the man who wrote the check you tried to cash.
Waste of time. You don't know me.
We'll let him decide that.
Go ahead. Have your fun.
A couple of questions we'd like to ask you.
Go ahead. I got nothing more important to do.
Check your name through our identification bureau. Came up with some mighty interesting things.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Let me see, Frank.
Here.
True name, Harold Drake. Is that right?
Yeah.
Your address is listed as 2917 Ledgewood Drive. Is that right?
Yep.
You told us you'd never been arrested.
I haven't.
Let's take a look at a picture.
You got the room rigged for movies?
Now, I'm going to tell you something, Drake. You mark it down, you remember it. The sooner you stop playing footsie with us, the better it's going to be for you. You understand?
When do you bring out the rubber hose?
That went out with the story you're trying to hand us.
Here's the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy looks a lot like me. Didn't know any better. You might think we were twins.
Yeah, if you didn't know better.
But we do, huh?
Oh, come off it, Drake, will you? We got you nailed and you know it. You want to sit there and dream up these fairy tales? That's up to you, but we got a job to do. We know you'll stand for this, and so do you. Now, why don't you save us both a lot of trouble and cop out?
Look, I'd like to do it, Sergeant. No lie, I really would. But I can't cop out to something I had nothing to do with.
All right. Start all over again. Where did you get the check?
A guy gave it to me to pay off a poker debt.
You going
to
tell us who the guy is?
No.
I think it's time to stop playing games. Now, let's get on to what we got in the books here. You claim you've never been arrested. We got a package on you here that shows 3 arrests and 2 convictions.
And a guy that looks like me.
Let's go down the hall and roll your prints. That'll clean it up, won't
it? I'm for that. Now, go on. Tell me the rest of the fairy tale.
I'll lay it out for you in one-syllable words.
That'll make it easy for you.
You broke into the offices of DMV down in San Diego on February 28th.
Yeah, day goes nice in February. Somebody's going to write a song about it sometime.
You stole 26 pink slips, ready for mailing to the owners.
You must mean somebody else.
Now, that smile's going to come off your face, Drake, when McGowan walks in.
Look,
here.
I don't know who Mr. McGowan is, but I'll be happy to meet him. Now, tell me, what did I do after I stole the pink slips?
You got the address of Lewis Carter. Then you went to his home on Saturday night and you stole his car.
You drove it down to McGowan's used car lot. And with a pink slip, you sold it to him for $2,200.
I was busy that night, wasn't I?
What are you trying to prove with all this talk, Drake? You trying to make it rough on yourself? Is that what you want?
I'm not trying to do anything. All I'm doing is trying to go along with you guys.
I'll check and see if McGowan's here.
All right.
Can I have one of those?
Yeah, help yourself.
Thanks. And I wouldn't have your job for all the money in the world.
All right.
Yeah, it's a lousy way to live. Going around trying to get people to cop out to things they didn't do.
That's the way it looks to you, doesn't it?
From anywhere I sit, it turns up just that way.
A couple of things wrong.
What?
Your record, for one thing.
And if you can prove it's mine.
All we got to do is walk down the hall and you've had it. Now, as soon as we check the prints, we've turned the key.
Sounds good the way you tell it.
Going to sound better the way the judge says it, isn't it?
Who's writing for you?
You were arrested in 1939 for auto theft. You served 3 years. Arrested in 1945, suspicion grand theft auto. Dismissed.
There, you see. They knew they had the wrong guy.
Nobody's told us. Another arrest in 1946, grand theft auto. Served 4 years.
Case of mistaken identity.
Is that what happened both times?
Some people got very bad eyes. Now, you take this fellow McGowan you're bringing in here. Wouldn't be at all surprised if he had bad eyes.
You know, there's one way to get yourself out of this, and that's to tell us where you got that check.
I don't know how to do it any more simple than I have, Sergeant. I want it playing poker, and I'm not going to tell you who I want it from. It wouldn't do any good.
I don't know who's been giving you advice, mister, but you aren't playing it very smart.
Really?
The guy who dreamed up this routine probably spent the next 20 years at Q.
As a matter of fact, he's still walking around.
All right, mister, let's go down the hall and check your prints.
Come on in, Mr. McGowan.
Yeah, that's a man.
You sure about that?
Swear to it in court.
What are you trying to do? Cause me a lot of trouble? I haven't done anything, and you know it. Now you come in here and you say that's a man. You know what they can do to
all
me?
All right, Drake, that's enough of that.
Let's go, Mr. McGowan.
Swear to it in court, that's the man who sold me the car.
How about it, Drake?
Nothing more, huh?
Yeah, we'll roll your prints and check them against the record. I got a couple of parcels from San Diego. If yours match up, and I think they will, you've had it.
No way out, huh?
Not that I can see.
Oh, what happens, now this is just a wild question for the sake of argument. What happens if I cop out, plead guilty?
We got nothing to say about that.
You can't help out, huh?
No, sir.
Save the taxpayers a lot of money, no trial.
I told you we got nothing to say about that.
Not much to gain then by copping out, huh?
We got you made if you do or you don't. Maybe make it a little easier if there's no jury trial. That's up to the judge.
Nothing you can do?
It'll go into the book that way.
Mm-hmm. You got another cigarette?
They're right there. Help yourself.
Thanks.
All right, let's go. Might as well get the prints and finish this thing up. Come on, Drake, get up.
No hurry, let me finish the cigarette.
I said, come on, we got other things to do.
Well, so have I.
What?
1 to 10 years.
The story you have just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. On September 15th, trial was held in Department 98, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that trial. And now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you, George Fenneman. Well, this is brief, but I think very much to the point. Chesterfield is the only cigarette that gives you proof of low nicotine, highest quality. That's what I want in my cigarette, and that's what you should look for in yours. Chesterfield, regular or king size, best for you. Try 'em.
Harold Alex Drake was tried and convicted of Grand Theft Auto 3 counts and was sentenced as prescribed by law. Grand Theft Auto is punishable by imprisonment in the state penitentiary for a period of from 1 to 10 years. A hold was placed on the suspect by San Diego County for prosecution on the burglary charge. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Technical advisors, Captain Jack Donahoe, Sergeant Marty Wynn, Sergeant Vance Brasher. Heard tonight were Ben Alexander, Herb Bygren, Jack Crucian, Herb Ellis. Script by John Robinson. Music by Walter Schumann. Hal Gibney speaking. Watch an entirely new Dragnet case history each week on your local NBC television station. Please check your newspaper for the day and time. Chesterfield has brought you Dragnet, transcribed from Los Angeles. Have you tried new cork-tipped Fatima? It's the smooth smoke. Here's why. New Fatima tips of perfect cork. King size for longer filtering, and Fatima quality for a much better flavor and aroma. Remember, Fatima has the tip for your lips. Try new Fatima. See how smooth it is. Fatima is made by the makers of Chesterfield, Liggett and Myers, one of tobacco's most respected names.
Tonight, visit with Cousin Willie on NBC.
That's it for this episode of Case Closed, but if you want to hear more from the lineup, Dragnet, find more from Case Closed and all the other Relic Radio shows, just visit the website relicradio.com. You'll find our Shoutcast stream available there and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Give that button a click. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.